Time now for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. It is good to be back with you all. It's been
a couple weeks. Yeah.
I believe since last PCSN Live, you've been busy with baseball. I think did you do a game last Wednesday? I was sick. And then
we did one last night.
So it's been a little cool, but last night was decent until the sun went down, right?
It was more the wind. It wasn't so much the sun, you know, up or down as much as it was the wind that was just
brutal,
awful. And when it was blowing in from left field straight to home plate.
Yeah.
So, of course, we sit behind the plate. You know, at that point, I mean, it was just blowing right in our face. And Ethan tried to give us a little bit of heat with a little propane tank and all. And it worked. But at the same time, it was still, because it was blowing in our face, it felt a lot colder.
Well, it's just Monday was just, you did that game as well, right?
We did not. We decided not to do that game.
You were there, didn't do, right?
Well, Ethan and I had talked prior, based on the weather conditions and all of that, we were like, there's no way. I was feeling bad about him having to go out early to set up all the equipment.
Snowing.
And then, exactly, then the snow and the wind and everything. And it's just not, no offense to our players or anything, our team as much as it was. It's just, it's a lot for Ethan to go through, and I just didn't feel like that it was
for me,
we needed to.
Coaching-wise, we'll talk about softball as well. We decided to cancel our game on Monday due to, and there was multiple reasons, but the main reason was 37, 38 degrees wind chill factor. I'm not sure what it was.
Like 26.
And pretty good snowfall going on. So, to me, early on in the season, and you baseball guys, it's fine too if you want to. I don't really necessarily see, and maybe cost yourself a $400 bat. You're not supposed to use them under 40 degrees. If you break a bat, then they're not warranted. You know, these bats are not cheap. They're very expensive bats that these guys are using, the girls are using. Your arm, if it's not ready to go and you're throwing on those cold days, it's kind of a crazy risk, in my opinion. I mean, I just don't think that if I'm miserable and the kids are miserable, why go through the game?
And you know, sometimes, too, when you hit and the ball just tings off of the bat, sometimes you get jarred in your hands and your wrist.
Pretty solidly, yeah.
Yes. In the cold weather, it's multiplied that effect in your hand.
I will say this. That is still true. However, the technology of the bats will decrease it a little, but you really know it in the cold. The bats don't function like they're supposed to in the cold. Like I said, their warranty's not good under 40.
Right.
They'll tell you. Now, if you're college and you're playing 38 degrees, it's part of what you do. You have an unlimited supply of bats.
Right.
You have bat deals where they give you 10, 20, 30, 40 bats. We've got these kids go out and buy a bat. It's their gamer. It's pretty much for the year. You know, it's hard to, I don't think people understand the expense of a good bat. You know, good bats between anywhere between $350 to $550, $600. They're not cheap. So, anyway, that's a whole different story. But to me, I don't know why I'm not risking equipment, injuries, and just flat out misery if you're trying to, like we're young, we're softball. We're going to kick it off with this. We're a really young, inexperienced group. If you go out there in the cold and you're trying to learn, it's really hard to learn when you're that cold, when your brain doesn't want to operate and you're trying to learn these new things and you're just worried about staying warm, you know. And I just don't think you get enough out of it. And that's just me. And then when you flip the gear to Tuesday night, it wasn't cold temperature-wise. but the wind was absolutely brutal.
It was, yeah.
And at times, the wind chill on Tuesday was close to where it was on Monday.
Right.
However, the sun was out, and it did feel much better. I know we finished our game last night around 7:30. I think baseball was still going strong.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, and then wound up finishing up the JV contest around 10:30, Frank said. So by 10 o'clock, it gets cool. You know, we don't have JV for softball group, so this is a year where we are way down in numbers. We only have 14 girls, I think, and that's counting maybe 15 girls, and that's counting two girls that are likely out for the season. So that gives me 13, and on a given day, a couple of them are out every day, so I only have 11 or 12 on a given day. And those numbers are, you can't afford to play a JV contest and risk one of your varsity kids being injured. And so far, we haven't, I don't think we've played a game where we had all of our players. It's been somebody's on this school trip, or this one's sick, or, I mean, we've had multiple school trips already and more expected next week to kind of shorten our numbers. So, again, there's part of it, but when you had normally you have 20, 25 kids on the varsity roster. Last year, I think we had 18. This year, we've down to about 14, and we're feeling the crunch. And the girls' basketball had to kind of deal with the same thing with the numbers. We just got to get more kids interested in playing softball. I know now they're interested in other sports, and all well and good, but there's only so many athletes that we have, and I feel like others aren't sharing the way I am.
I would agree, and we've talked about this countless times, whether on the air or otherwise. What has caused the decrease, especially in girls basketball and girls softball, what has caused that slow decline where now girls are not interested in that? Well, and then how do you go about getting them reinterested and or attracting even new students to become interested in that?
That's a tough one. And this is the I see the problem is like, okay, we've got a little league that not enough kids play with little league, so we have to have such a wide range of ages that it probably doesn't function the right way. And then you get two kids
and girls playing with boys as well on teams.
Well, that's baseball though.
Correct.
That's okay. Yeah. I don't mind the kids playing baseball to a certain age, but in the little league softball that we have going, and these people that run these are working hard, but when you only get 20, 25 kids sign up from the ages of 6 to 16, you've got such a wide range of age, it's really difficult to play those kids against one another. Then you get frustration set in with, we can't compete against this kid, and I get it. We just don't have enough kids interested. We need 100 kids wanting to play softball in the spring to make it much easier for them to manage. And I'm not blaming the people that are working for free trying to get this done, because it's hard to do. But if you don't have interest, you can't make interest. You can't make kids want to play. And I feel that we've got, like when you get to middle school sports, in the spring you have soccer, you have, I believe volleyball is also spring, right?
For middle school, yes.
For middle school. So those kids that are playing soccer and volleyball now aren't able to play softball.
It may have an interest in it, but they're choosing one over the other, right?
Yeah. And then when they get to the high school, those sports are in the fall. Now they can play softball, but they've also missed out on the formative years. I wish we didn't have those overlaps at the middle school. I think it does cut our numbers a little bit at the middle school level. And it's nobody's fault. It's just the way we do our seasons. And it's, you have to do your seasons. Hey, you have to do your seasons. This kind of way it is. But I heard this several years ago from other coaches. We're seeing the brunt of it when you offer multiple sports and improve things. It hurts other sports, and I think basketball kind of deals with the same kind of thing. And we've got these kids that are working year round. Don't have a problem with kids working year round, except for the fact until we were short in some sports and not short in others, and we got people working year round and are really not allowing those kids an opportunity to play other sports. And eventually we'll have to have a come to meeting and have a discussion of that with the coaches and understand. I get it, you know, if kids playing sport X and no interest in sport Y, you know, why make them choose? But at some point, that's why I like the old way. You had a limitation of season. Your season starts this date and it ends this date. You can't touch a ball
right
until next year. I like that because it allowed kids freedom to be able to play other sports and without being kind of forced to
pick one or the other.
Yeah. And it hurts the numbers, and that's just the kind of way I see it. But
to me, especially in girls sports.
Yeah, but you're going to see, I think you're seeing it in boys sports. You just don't, you have more kids involved. We see it in football, the numbers problem, right?
True.
You got 20 some kids playing soccer. You got, we're going to restart boys volleyball. That's going to be a choice between, okay, baseball or volleyball at the high school level. I'm not sure when they're going to put it into middle school, but then they're going to have a choice there what to make. We're getting ready to go there again.
Another sport that's going to thin things out even more.
Yes, and then now you've got, and this is just the way I look at it, you know, cheerleading is that other sport that kind of goes year-round, but now you have the big impact of the sports, the cheer group, and
outside of the school
outside
setting.
Of the school setting,
yeah.
That are taking up kids. And again, it's not affiliated with the school, but it's still a sports group that may take kids away from other sports because it's hard what they do.
And they're going year round,
yes,
as you said,
yes.
Yeah,
and it's.
And competitive.
That's exactly what it is. So I just think there's not enough kids to go around to field our teams. We've got more than we've ever had. I think it's great. But at some point, we got to have a little bit of a common sense meeting, at least within the school system, about we got to shower better. And I don't know how you fix it. It's just, you know, if you offer open gyms all the time, their kids are going to feel like they're obligated to go. And if that's their favorite sport to do, then I don't blame them. I mean, it's just, but I wish other kids would give us a shot to play too, you know, and be able to do that. But like I said, it starts at the middle school when kids lose 2 or 3 years because they're picking other sports to play in middle school. And then when they get to high school, obviously it opens up where they can play softball in the spring because there's no other really competitive sports other than track. And now we're getting some of the kids that want to do that instead. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go again. But they have low numbers as well. So
how do you think, realizing that you have 13, 14 girls on your current softball team, no JV squad, how do you rebound from that, though? And obviously you have a couple of seniors, but I'm saying, but how do you rebound from that? Obviously you're going to be pulling kids, as you have over time. You know, it's been going on for a long time. Middle school kids, but at the same time, without having a JV squad,
you're
getting experience, then now you have kids that are middle school and then strictly going to varsity because you don't have those numbers.
But you should pull less kids because
true.
My belief is always, if you're not going to be able to perform at the varsity level, you shouldn't come up. To play the schedule we played when we were playing JV, you really didn't get a lot out of it anyway. You got some experience, but very limited. If that's all you're going to play, you're probably not getting a lot better. These kids are going to have a much more competitive season if they're playing down with the middle school group. Now, if you get this special kid that's good enough to play at the varsity level, and we've got one right now. We've got a seventh grader that started for us every game we've played, and we are sharing that athlete with the middle school. I think we've worked it out to where there's one game that you'll play up that's not a middle school game. And the rest of the time, she'll be with her middle school squad. So that's how you work it out. And, you know, the kid wants to play both. And the only downside of that is it going to be too much for her to handle? Because right now, she was about starter last night behind the plate. She subbed in a second game on Saturday to do some catching. She played some second base in the other two games. So this is a kid that I think is going to be, her future's bright in softball. But you can't go past the seventh grade. But if our numbers keep to dwindle, we may have to pull more kids and do the same thing with those kids and try to do the split schedule. It's just about, you have to have the skill set to be able to play and compete without getting hurt. You know, you don't want to put them in a bad situation that way. So, and this kid that we have now, and it's her name's Presley Eplin, and she has some skills that I haven't seen in a long time from a catcher, just some mechanical skills. And her mechanics are about as good as anybody I've seen in a long time. Strength will come. She'll get better as she goes, and the more she plays, she'll get some experience. But already, I hear as a vocal leader on the field, and it's so exciting to have a young kid. You know, we're 1-3. Is that right?
Yeah, 1-3.
1-3 going in. We lost to Nicholas County, lost 2 on Saturday to Leslie and Harlan, and then defeated Jackson City last night. But she's already taking leadership role. She'll yell out where the play's going, what the call is, I love it. I mean, you got a young kid that's energetic and doing what a catcher should do, and
Has obviously taken the time, especially being a catcher, right? Someone has taken the time in order to invest in her, and she's investing in herself and her skill set to get better.
Yep, and plays a lot of travel ball this summer.
And we don't necessarily have a lot of kids in that same situation to where you're playing a season, and once the season's over with, you're not picking it up until it's time for conditioning.
Yeah,
right?
And I've got a phenomenal catcher in front of her. Maya Wickline is my number one catcher, but if I can get away with catching Preston and putting Maya in the field, we're so much better defensively. You know, like I said, her mechanics are really good behind the plate, so she receives the ball well. Her throwing's not as strong as Maya's. I mean, Maya's
where you're going to get that as far as like
age and strength. Yeah. But, you know, you hate to lose what you're losing. You know, Wickline's having a good spring early. She's told you earlier, she had 12 at bats. She's been on base 12 times. I think she's had, seven or eight hits, and the rest of the time either walked or hit batsman. So, knock on wood, she hasn't had a bat so far where she's made an out. So that's nice to see from the leadoff spot. And the rest of the kids are kind of filling in. We had a good, like I said, had a good game last night. Dessa Foster had a no-hitter through 5 innings of 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. Defense played really well behind her. And, you know, that being said, it was just one of those games where we played well, scored enough runs. They struggled pitching. One of their kids, their starting pitcher, from last year, transferred to Wolf County. She's playing there. And their starting catcher decided to not play this year and take care of her grandparent. Totally understandable. The other part, the transfer part, it kind of bothers me a little bit, but, you know, that's a district matchup, too, between Jackson and Wolf County. But, you know, she was a phenomenal player. You take her off that team, and it's, you're not as competitive as you would have been. And, you know, I kind of saw that the struggles they were going to have last night. Their pitching was a little down. But they had some kids. I think they're going to be fine. Next time we play them, I think it'll be a much different ballgame.
So let me ask you this then, as far as, like with your team, you only have a couple of seniors on your team.
Yes.
With that being said, the experience that your players are getting, even though some of them lack experience, mm-hmm. right, do you think going forward – and I get that, like, the season's just now starting, but I'm saying as far as, like, with the experience that they're gaining this year with your team, going forward into next year, do you feel better? You know what I'm saying? Again, once they get more experience under the belt, and even for the rest of the season, for that matter, I'm just saying, yeah. as young and inexperienced as some of these players are, to give them more game experience, do you see things continuing to improve collectively?
It's kind of like this. Softball goes as your pitcher goes. It's just that it's still that sport to where if you are good in the circle, you can compete. If Dessa's on, she can be really good. If she's not on, we're going to struggle. We've got Ella Napier and Maya Wickline both back her up. Those two are much better players away from the circle. Neither one got a lot of experience there. I think Ella could be a really quality pitcher if you wanted to work on her. She's just not a kid that's interested in pitching.
And most girls are not interested. A lot of guys will be. Whether they can do it or not is another thing. But well, yet, I think that you've got a difference in disparity.
In baseball,
there.
You got the rule where you get this many pitches per week, and in softball, it's unlimited. I think eventually we'll make a change. I've said that for 5 years, and no change has even been discussed. But eventually, they'll make a change in softball where they're going to limit a little bit of your pitching. Or I would think it'd be better to do that. You know, we got a young pitcher coming. She's a sixth grader, so we can't use her high school-wise right now because she is in the sixth grade. I think things like that are kind of exciting for me to see. I know next year when you look at this group, we lose two. And right now we've had one starter, that's Dessa, and the other one hasn't started for us yet. So and she's been sick for the last three games. So, when you're only losing really kind of one key player and you got everybody else back, it's kind of fun. On the flip side of that, you lose your pitcher. So it's
right.
The hardest position to replace. We're losing that kid, and Dessa's also got a good bat. Actually a much better athlete than what people give her credit for. And
see, and to me, that's why, though, because it is more difficult. A lot of players don't want to be put in that position.
It's a lot of work.
Like, to me, it's easier to convince an 8- or 9-year-old boy, hey, we're going to put you on the mound and pitch, than it is to have a girl to come in that position. One, because the distance, right? I mean, you're close.
Yeah, but sadly to say, I'm not sure. This community just doesn't have the softball mentality yet. Got a huge baseball mentality.
Sure.
When you talk about a kid, they understand pitching is kind of, it's cool to be a pitcher. You know, and you're going to have four or five different pitchers on a team. So you have multiple opportunities to do that. Now, at the high school level with softball, you can have one. And they can pitch every day. And a lot of teams have one or two, and that's all they're going to have. Now, I will also add this, and this is getting more and more this way as well. If you have the money to get your kid private lessons, and I'm not talking about just softball, any sport offered, there's people giving private lessons to that are going to benefit from taking private lessons. If people can afford it. If you can afford private pitching lessons and you're going to, and I'm not saying local people can't do it, but you're going to a reputable person for lessons. And most pitchers go to, like, somebody in Richmond, or they'll go to somebody at Berea, somebody in Ashland, somebody in Northern Kentucky. There's, like, several really good teachers around. And it's going to cost you $60 an hour for lessons. And that's 3 to 4 days a week. And that you got travel. You got the expense.
Sure.
You got the an hour. Again, that is what our athletes that are going to the next level are having to do. And even if you're just a hitter, we've got people that are working with hitters and getting them to the next level and training them. You got to pay for it. I mean, it's just part of the ugly process we've gone to, but that's where the kids are getting seen. That's where the kids are getting the recognition. If you don't do those things, you're probably not making it now because you're not making that name for yourself that you could. But it gets expensive, and that's the part that I don't like. But
so let me ask you this:
needed necessity.
As far as softball, fast pitch, boys baseball, to me, it appears to be easier that I could take a 10-year-old and turn him into a pitcher in baseball. I could probably even take an 11-year-old or so. And to me, like, at what age does a girl need to start?
7, 8.
7, 8 years old. And to see, again, you're kind of validating my point. Again, I feel like you could take a boy that's a little bit older and I could turn him into a pitcher. Well, but with a girl, because of the mechanics,
you
need to start earlier.
Kid pitch starts what, 8, 9?
Yeah.
You can get away with 8, 9 for the girls to learn. But I don't think if you're waiting till 12... You're 4 years behind. These kids that are really effective pitchers at this level, they've been pitching for, this 13, 14-year-old has been pitching for 5 years. if you wait till 12, 13 to decide you want to pitch, you're not catching up. You'll be a senior in high school. That kid that's a freshman is going to eat you alive. And that's where we've been.
Right.
We go face these teams now that they're playing travel ball here. They're playing 60 games in the summer. They're pitching. They're getting better. They're going to get lessons. Our kids aren't doing that. I'm not saying that you get away with it, but you really don't get away with it, because all these really good pitchers we've got, like in this region, we've improved a lot. But it's taken these kids having to play extra travel, extra time. And again, you have to learn at a fairly early age. And it's not hard to learn how to pitch. It's not hard. It's like I used to have a softball person tell me this one time, if you can walk, you can pitch. Because it's a natural motion. Just an underhand motion. It's natural. It's timing and it's work. And again, if you want to do it, it's not that complicated. But it's going to take you wanting to work. And that's where I think we see our kids sometimes. I'm not sure we got enough work ethics in some people that it's going to take that to get you to where you need to be.
I think in general, that's across
the board.
It is across the board. I think just this whole generation of young student athletes, I'm not saying all of them by any means,
No.
But I think in general, you come in, again, you pop into a season, you do your thing, and after that, you're dropping it because you're moving on to whatever it else is you're moving on to.
But I look around different teams, like I use Estill County, for example. One of their best pitchers only wants to play softball. Perry Central's only play softball. Breathitt County's pitcher only plays softball. Letcher's main pitcher, I think she only plays softball. You take the best teams with the best pitchers, they only play softball. They're
committed.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, Dessa gave up. She loved volleyball. She gave up everything she loved to work on softball. Now, has she put the work in that she's needed to get a lot better? Probably not. But talent-wise, she's as good as we've had. She's got the same issues all the time. And now, some of it's mental, some of it is physical. But, it takes you hours and hours and hours in the summer of work to be good in the spring. And that was 6 months ago. If you don't get that time in the summer, you're already behind.
Right.
And I think that's where we kind of fall behind for us. And, again, I don't push it because I don't want to be that coach that stops a kid from playing volleyball or soccer or basketball or whatever. I want them to enjoy it all.
So then how do you go about even trying to develop somebody like Maya or Ella to be in that pitching situation? Like, are you approaching players? Like, who wants to pitch? Who wants to give it a try to give you another option?
By the time I can – my problem is by the time I get there, it's too late. This is something that needs to be addressed when they're – before
younger.
They get to middle school.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not saying you can't learn in a year or two. It's really difficult to learn in a year or two.
Right.
You know, I think – like if Ella Napier want to learn how to pitch, she wants to go take lessons right now. You know, she's still really young. She could get it. You know, in 2 years she could be a dominant pitcher. And that's 2 years. Then she's talking about junior senior season. So I think she could get there if she wanted to really commit and work at it. Now she's a pure hitter. Her work comes with swinging the bat. Now she works hard at softball. Don't get me wrong, but working hard at one thing made you change to work on something else, like the pitching part. You know, you take these guys down here, you got, you know, Kyle Nickel, Austin Begley,
Kane Knox,
you got all these kids that are really good at what they, Ethan Wireman went in last night,
yeah.
I think got some good innings.
Yep.
All these kids are pretty good at what they do. That skill set, you work on it all summer. You work on it. These guys have been throwing for 2 or 3 months. And they're ready to go. You know, it's not something they just decided to pick up a ball last month and figure they're going to throw. That's just not how it works.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that there is an issue with the fact, my point in going back as far as like even being able to teach somebody in baseball, everything you're throwing over, It's overhanded. Mm-hmm. Overhanded. No matter where I'm playing on the field, I'm throwing overhanded, so therefore it potentially is easier to get on the mound and have a kid throw it down the plate. My point being is that now with softball, defensively, I'm throwing over, but now when I'm on the mound, I'm pitching under. So therefore, it's a different...
It is. It's a different thought process. It's just a different thought process. Walking gets you to pitch. I mean, if you can serve a volleyball, you can throw overhand.
Sure.
It's the same motion. It's the same concept. But the pitch is just... All you got to be able to do is take your arm in a circle. It's not, it's really not. Pitching a softball is probably more simple. And I'm going to say this wrong. It's not as complicated as people think it is. It's a really simple process. To master it, that gets complicated. Because you get girls that throw 70 plus miles an hour. You get kids that throw multiple pitches from the same arm slot. And in softball, it's different because you have one arm slot by rule. In baseball, if I want to go three-quarter, I can come straight over the top. I can be a sidearmer. I can be a submariner. I can be a knuckleballer. I can throw it however I want to throw it.
Right.
And get away with it. It's not just one arm slot. By rule, it has to come from the hip. My arm has to be right there by rule.
Right.
So these girls are going from one arm slot only and figuring out how to throw all their pitches. And we've got, I had one kid a few years ago, and I asked the coach, how many pitches you got? I should go about 20. Okay, no.
Right.
You don't have 20.
Sure.
You know, two-seam fastball, four-seam fastball. I understand you may want to call out two different pitches. It's still a fastball.
Right.
But, again, you will have kids that will have six, eight pitches in softball. And that's a lot. To me, if you can throw three well, write your ticket. But, I mean, everything really operates off the fastball unless you're, you know, I've seen college pitchers in softball throw 44 miles an hour max, but they're spinning it like crazy. So you'll see kids that can be effective in the mid-40s, but it's total spin. It's all spin. And you get kids that are throwing 75 miles an hour, they're just blowing you away with heat.
Right.
It's just totally, you know, when you have a baseball guy face a softball pitcher for the first time, you very seldom see the baseball guy win out.
True. As you mentioned, just a different release point.
It's a
different, yeah, absolutely.
It's totally
different.
Yeah,
you're used to coming up high, and all of a sudden you have to adjust down low, and it would definitely be more difficult.
Ball naturally goes up from the underhand slot. It's going down from the overhand slot. Therefore, I'm not ready for the ball to go up. It moves upward, and if you throw hard enough, you get good upward movement, and that's the beauty of softball.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, haven't watched a lot of softball, just watch it on TV. It's a beautiful. It's one of the most pure sports you can play. Baseball tries to copy softball every single day, and I'm going to say that in a biggest compliment ever. Every rule that's been enforced now in baseball, softball has been doing since its inception. Every speed-up rule they want in baseball, we've been doing it. It's normal for us.
Right.
If you go watch, you know, last night, we were done by 7:15, 7:30, and started late. Baseball wasn't done for...
3 hours.
Almost three.
Yeah. And that's normal.
That is.
I mean, high school
baseball pitch game.
High school baseball games go longer than professional baseball games,
and they're 9 innings because they sped those games up. They haven't sped up the high school game yet.
Right.
It's just again the purity of the game. I know my dad used to tell me this all the time, and I thought he was kind of crazy, but his favorite sport to play was fast pitch softball. He said everything is so fast, it moves. It's just, you know, it's a. You can have speed and play the game. You can have power and play the game. There's different ways to play the game, and he absolutely loved fast pitch softball. I think more people that experience it will really love it. I just think these baseball guys go to a couple of softball games, see what it's like. It's a great experience.
Right.
And once you get involved in fast pitch softball, not that you lose interest in baseball. It's just not nearly as fun. I don't mean that to be mean in any way, but it's I tell you, the fast pitch sport is fantastic. Just wish more people would give it a fair opportunity, because it's one of the greatest sports around.
And obviously, giving, you know, people taking a chance and learning the sport, playing the sport, is a direction that, as a community school district, we need more girls involved. Well, we need more student athletes, as you mentioned, even alluded to earlier, as far as the football is concerned. We need bigger numbers when it comes to football, more numbers when it comes to girls softball. Again, it would be nice to see those improve as far as participants.
You're not going to see a problem in the future of baseball. In my opinion, you're not going to see a problem in the future of boys basketball.
The way nor soccer even.
I was going to say, in the way it's trending right now, you're not going to see a problem in soccer. You're probably not going to see a problem in volleyball with the numbers. I mean, when you only have six to play, it's pretty easy to get those. When you got to have nine to play a game for baseball and softball, and you got to have 11 to play football, you have to have more numbers.
Right.
And it's just a math thing. It's pretty simple. But getting more kids out is their biggest thing. So way behind on breaks. So, again, softball team right now is 1-3. Next game coming up for the Lady Pirates will be on Saturday versus Hazard. And then a big district game on Monday versus Owsley County. So,
and we'll have that game for you on WSKV.
Yeah, just to round out the week, next Tuesday we will be at Wolf County, I believe, and then we'll
at Menifee.
At Menifee on Thursday, West Carter
and
on Friday.
At West Carter, yep.
And then a long break for the softball. So
spring break will be here after
Spring
that.
Break will be upon us after that. So anyway, step away for a couple breaks. We'll be back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Unlock the power of your home's value with a home equity line of credit from Whitaker Bank. This is Angie Rogers. I'm a loan officer at Whitaker Bank in Stanton. With a home equity line of credit, or a HELOC, from Whitaker Bank, enjoy the flexibility to access your home's equity whenever you need it. Funds from a HELOC can be used for home improvements, education expenses, debt consolidation, and so much more. If you would like to learn more, give me a call at 606-663-2283. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
If you're 45 or older, it's recommended you begin colorectal cancer screening. A colonoscopy at Clark Regional Medical Center is a screening that helps find and identify cancers early when treatment is most effective. Prioritize your well-being with a proactive step towards good health. Your health matters. At Clark Regional Medical Center, we're here to help you choose a healthy future. Choose well. Visit us online at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. We're going to switch gears, go over to the other spring ball, which is baseball we talk about. Again, I don't think they've had a lot of track meets or a lot of... I think they got a bass fishing tournament going on like this weekend. But
they had one a week ago or so.
The bass season kind of runs between two or three different sports, so it's pretty much an all-year kind of thing. But anyway, we will give them their due time whenever we get an opportunity. So now, Beth Baseball, last night they played the All-2A Classic. First round against Fleming County.
Yeah. Played against Fleming County, and the Pirates ended up winning 6-5. It was an interesting game. You know, we've talked about this as well, that anytime you give up the leadoff hitter, you put them on first, whether it's mostly a walk, but yet that's exactly what the Pirates did. Leadoff hitter gets a walk, comes around, and eventually scores. So just like that, the Pirates were down 1-0 going into the bottom of the first. It was to the bottom of the second that the Pirates came back and tied it up. But then Fleming comes back top of the third. Then they take a lead. And then the Pirates answer in the bottom of the fifth. They get 3 runs and then get a couple more in the sixth inning. But it was kind of one of those back-and-forth battles. You know, wasn't quite sure what was going to happen as far as who was going to win. It was an interesting game as far as that. Some controversy with one of the plays.
Yeah. Heard about that one, didn't
you? I don't know. I didn't go back and look at the video just yet, just to even see.
Well, Frank,
as far as the angle, what did he think?
It was definitely a foul ball.
Oh, it was. And see, I thought that it actually had maybe hit the foul pole and came back into the play, you know, and thinking, okay, well, at that point it's fair. But then also when I looked down, realized that there was a fence post, chain link fence post that's new fence. Yes, it's just to the left of that. And then in hindsight, I was thinking, I don't know, maybe it actually hit that one and came back. But it's dark in that corner, too.
And again, I'm not knocking the umpire. I know who's calling the game last night that I guess missed the call. This is coming from Frank. And I think the umpire asked him later, and he admitted to the gate, it was foul. Anyway, that being said, I think if you've been to that field as long as this umpire has been to this field, calling games or coaching here, that change of the dynamics of that field with the new fences coming down both lines, that could throw your total concept off of what a fair foul ball was.
Right.
And I think that did play a part of the fair foul ball down the line. I know the coach was pretty upset on the Fleming County side.
Yes.
Right? It probably did make a difference to the ball game.
It definitely did because the Pirates scored a run on that one, at least one that I remember during that particular play.
Frank said, so we would have scored 3, and he thought it was going to be a fair ball. He was kind of runners were stopping because
correct, yes,
they thought it was foul.
As a matter of fact, stopped. Yeah, Kyle Nickel was actually at second, and finally he eventually ran to third. You're exactly right under those circumstances. So
yeah, Frank was giving me that today. I was talking to him down at school and. He was kind of explaining the play. He said, you could tell everybody thought it was foul because the players just kind of stopped. But one thing as a player you should always do is run until you're told it's foul. I mean, I understand if you see it, and well, it's obviously foul, they should miss it. But umpires are human.
Yeah, the new lighting is great. It's great. But right field, left field, those corners right there, foul territory, they're a little on the dark side.
Now,
so
now, when you're saying a little on the dark side, considerably lighter than before.
100%. Yes, so, definitely.
Even though Ken's saying it's, and again, I don't care what field you go to, you're going to find places with a little bit of a
right
lesser lighted area.
And I think, too, going back to the umpire, I think that, again, when the ball came back into play, after, because it hit the fence, regardless, we know it hit the fence, but when it came back into play, it came back into play in fair territory. So, therefore, I think that he had no other choice but to say,
fair ball.
Fair ball, right. You know, again, to me at that point, I was kind of confused, and then I'm thinking, well it's, I guess it's a fair ball. But then the outfielder, he wasn't necessarily moving as if it were
a fair ball,
you know. Yeah. So, I mean, again, everything was kind
normally,
of off. But
you can look at a play and read the players and tell whether it's fair or foul.
Right.
I don't think the umpire paid attention to the players, and that's okay. I've been faked up by players before as an umpire.
Well, so, and he consulted the other official, you know, so again, they talked it out or whatever else, and that's what they ruled, and it is what it is. It's no different, you know, you could go back to balls and strikes being called and being, you know, I'm saying somebody getting out, oh, maybe it was ball four instead. Again, you can get nitpicky, but at the same time, I think that they did the best that they could. I hated that kind of was a factor as far as, you know, potentially leading to the outcome of the game, but nonetheless, it was still a good game.
Good win for the Pirates. Again, as Frank described it, it was an ugly win. I told him, hey, a win's a win's a win. Take them as they get them. You don't always get to draw what they look like. But again, it's a good win over a Fleming County team.
And this struggled. Fleming County came in 1-3 on the season. Yeah. So Powell was 3-1. They were 3-2 on the
not
season.
Not real good offensively, again. Pretty good pitching last night, just not real good offensively from what Frank told me today. Again, going back, you had a good win against on Monday versus Perry Central in the snow.
5-0, yeah. A nice win in the region.
A big win. And then you, again, last week they
played in the Hardin Classic at Rowan County.
Yeah.
That was last Saturday. Ended up defeating Lewis County 10-0 in six innings, and then lost to Rowan County 11-1 in six innings.
Now, the Rowan County matchup is interesting because Rowan plays Mason for the opportunity to play Powell in the two-way semifinals. That'll be a little bit later on. And that matchup is one where Frank told me both those two teams now have beaten the Pirates. And for, you know, the way I look at it, it's an opportunity for the Pirates to have a little revenge over one of those two teams later on in the season. Whenever the all two-way semis are. Which I think that'll, after spring break.
Yeah, that'll come up in April, as far as the next two-way. And then the Pirates ended up starting off the season with a nice win against Knott County Central, 11-6. So, you know, the Pirates have done well within the region so far, having defeated Knott County Central and Perry County Central, 4-2 on the season. So off to a really nice start.
I like the start. I know they had a game coming up Saturday with Letcher. That game is canceled.
And then scheduled to play Friday night East Carter here at home.
Now, I do think Frank is looking for a game for Saturday to replace the Letcher Central game. So, or at least I hope I'm getting this correct. I think the game is, as of right now, I'm not going to say why the Letcher Central game is canceled, but if somebody asks me off the air, I'll probably tell them. But,
and just so everybody knows, we will not have the game Friday against East Carter. We will not be covering that one.
Okay, and it's supposed to rain.
Our next Friday game will be the Owsley County softball game versus the Powell County Lady Pirates here at home. So just so everybody knows that. But again, a nice start for the Pirates. Again, with the exception of the loss to Rowan County, the 11-1. You know, they had their chances against Mason County, just came up short, but still very competitive. I really like this team. We knew that there were a lot of players that were coming back.
I like this
solid
team from the pitching perspective. Standpoint, but this team eventually is going to have to hit. Then this has been a team 2 years in a row who have been right in the mix in the regional tournament to win a regional tournament, but have not really hit at all in a couple of years. And they went to the championship game
against Hazard.
Three hits in the tournament.
Yeah, in the tournament and got to the championship.
Tournament.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Let that sink in.
I will say this, based on an observation of you know, where I'm sitting there, I feel like that at times some of the reasons they're not necessarily getting the hits is that they're consistently swinging under the pitch.
Yeah, I watched a bit of BP yesterday. I was waiting on the drag to work on our field. And, you know, I saw some gaps in these kids. But, listen, 10 guys can go watch you swing and say, okay, I can help you with your swing. And we got 1,000 guys, not 1,000, but there's probably 20 guys along any given night telling every kid how to fix their swing. I promise you they're there. And again, it's just little subtle things. I think approach. Frank has told me that they're really working on some pitch recognition stuff right now, and I think that'll go a long way to help.
Sure.
And he's just trying something different. Again, this has been a long journey with this group. Again, the pitching's been there for the last couple of years. It's just not been able to hit. And they've got good hitters. If you look at their numbers are good, but they don't seem to click together at the right time or get the big hits against the good arms.
True.
And that's kind of been their deficit. It's just hitting the good pitching that's out there. And
well, even going back to the Mason game, so the Pirates had bases loaded with nobody out, or at least runners on second and third. I feel like the bases were loaded. But anyway, nobody out, and then three hitters come up, and they all three strike out, and that was the top of the order. Now, granted, the pitcher that came in relief, his heat was a big change from what they had seen prior. It's hard to catch up, period. You know, when you're used to seeing something, all of a sudden you come in, and all of a sudden the first pitch, like, just goes right by. It's like, make that adjustment.
Everybody's got these really long swings now. I wish you look at Major League Baseball where it's gone. It's less hitting. More home runs, but they don't hit as well.
Right.
And it's the same approach I think the Pirates are taking. It's the long swings versus a short swing. There's a couple good short swing guys on the team that will make a lot of contact and put the ball in play. And those are the kinds of hitters that you want to see. I mean, to me, you got some guys that are swing and miss guys now that shouldn't be swing and miss guys.
Well, and I will say this too. I've been impressed with them. I feel like that this team at the plate is very patient. They're not swinging at things out of the strike zone. Again, they're swinging a little bit under, but in general, they're getting walks. They're being very patient. They're not really chasing after anything. So I'm impressed with what they've been doing so far with that.
To me, the more subtle approach in baseball is just if you can shorten your swings just a little bit, put more balls in play. People are going to make errors, I promise you that. The kid throwing 88, 89 miles an hour, if we could just meet the fastball every now and then, that ball will travel. You don't have to swing as hard to make it go as far. That simple approach from Dave, sometimes less is more in baseball. If you put a ball in play in high school baseball, you'll get on a lot too because people are going to make errors. I mean, they're part of the game. Maybe cut down on your swings a touch, like it's a two-strike approach every swing versus just on. And I don't see a lot of two-strike approaches in our guys when I've watched the last couple of years, but shorten those swings down a little bit and put more balls in play and see if you're not more successful.
And again, 4-2, off to a good start. Yeah, off to a good start. Again, they're swinging under some.
Yeah.
Very patient at the plate, though, getting a lot of walks, impressed with that. Couple of errors here and there, but in general, I mean, it's cold and it's early. Again, I really like this team. I like what the coaches and the players are doing so far.
The pitching depth is as good as it needs to be to win a region.
Now, they're capable of doing that
now
for sure.
Now we have to get the bats lined up to be able to hit enough to where you can get through it. So,
and try to be consistent. If there's one thing about baseball is the inconsistencies across all levels.
You know, Ichiro didn't have a problem.
Sure, and there's others like that. I'm saying, but you have to be consistent within this game, collectively, one as an individual and collectively as a team. If you're consistent, good things will happen. It's when you're on that roller coaster, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. That's when it becomes a grind in that respect.
People always say, who are you afraid of in Major League Baseball, who are you afraid to face? And it's these guys hitting it, you know, 120 miles an hour off the bat.
And I
get that. But, you know, what's wrong with the guy that's hitting it 84 miles an hour the other way, dropping it in and putting in play almost every time. Those guys are tough outs, always. I would rather have 9 tough outs than 4 superstar sluggers that are going to strike out a fourth of the time. Give me those 9 tough outs. I will win a lot of games.
Sure. Well, at that point, those tough outs might be a walk. Now I've got a base runner, and now something's going to happen.
Away, now I'm hitting the other way.
Something's going to happen.
Hitting ain't complicated. You can simplify it as much as you want to, but I think, to me, again, less is more. But anyway.
They're off to a great start. Yeah. I like this team. I hope good things, happen with them in the district and the region, because they are definitely capable. They are solid.
It's just always fun to see when you're this district. It's just a Pal-Estel battle, and it's just that's who you got to – this district has to go through Estel, and that's part of your regional battle as well, and you're going to go through Perry and Hazard and – Letcher and not usually, and then Breathitt County got a couple nice arms now, so have to run through them a little bit. So it's the same contenders you'll always see in baseball. So
you're right. Well, here, let me just kind of go back again on their schedule. So the Pirates are 4-2. East Carter on Friday, 6:30 start, not a 6 o'clock start. 6:30 start. As David mentioned, the Letcher County Central game on Saturday has been canceled. Then the Pirates will travel to Montgomery County on the 25th, a 5:30 start. And then on the 29th, they'll be at Estill County, a 6 o'clock start.
A lot of fun stuff coming up for baseball. So get out and support your Pirates and Lady Pirates the next couple weeks before spring break. And I think they're going on their spring trip. So good luck to the baseball team going forward, as we'll take another break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Your Powell County Pirates sports broadcast is brought to you by a partnership between Your Papa John's in Stanton and Legacy Liquor, Wine, and Spirits, located in the Stanton Crossroads Center and on Main Street in Clay City. Order delivery or takeout now from Papa John's in Stanton, 606-663-7272. Wings, pizza, papadillas, Papa Bites, cinnamon pull aparts, a giant chocolate chip cookie, and so much more. Order now, 606-663-7272. Legacy Liquor, Wine, and Spirits would like to remind you to leave a strong legacy. Support local sports, drink responsibly, and never drink and drive.
Hey, I'm Wyatt Denniston, the new owner of Stanton Ace Hardware. At Ace, we are known for being the helpful place, and we pride ourselves in accomplishing that goal each day with each customer. We're focused on bringing a new selection of great products with you in mind, including quality knives like Case Knives, built with integrity for people of integrity. Steel chainsaws, trimmers, and lawnmowers. That's right, I said lawnmowers. And simply the best, Skag Power equipment. Shop local, save money, and get quality products from people who love this community. We are Stanton Ace Hardware, supporting the broadcast of our Powell County Pirates.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton, or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. Again, we're on to just a short, brief bit here, so we'll get ready to wrap this thing up. But again, real quick, coming up Friday, Powell County Boys Baseball versus East Carter. 6:30 game time. Will not be
correct. Broadcast.
Next broadcast on WSKV will be Monday versus Powell versus Owsley softball.
Correct.
From the softball field. And again, so if you can get out to support the baseball and softball team, that'd be fantastic. I know we got the Sweet 16 going on with the boys tournament going on.
Perry County Central lost today.
Today after having a 7-point lead in the third
and
quarter.
And lost by 7.
I watched it on the NFHS app on the Sweet 16, and one thing about the beauty of having that NFHS, you can watch the state tournament.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
plug for that.
Plug for the NFHS. So
now, with that being said, though, we're not going to plug it anymore, and here's why. Well, because nothing's happening with NFHS for us until we get back to football.
I'm just saying, though, but we have the subscription because we cover.
True.
So,
yeah.
But again, if you do want to watch, I guess you can still go buy the subscription.
True.
NCAA men's tournament. Get ready to kick off. Women's tournament, I think, is already started or getting ready to start as well. So, men's tournament, Kentucky, looks like they got a pretty good little draw.
I would agree with that. I think that they probably got a nice one where they could get to the Elite Eight and see what happens from there.
Definitely, I think they got I'm going to say a clear road to the Sweet 16, but I think Calipari should get this team to the Sweet 16.
I think after the loss, which may or may not have been intentional in some respects, because I think he uses that as motivation, like you can almost be beat. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you got beat. Now you got to get serious now.
If the officiating deal was as bad as the optics look, 22 calls against the other team, none for Kentucky, with the one official who had been fired from the NBA for ties with gambling. I'm not saying any of that is true, but the optics looks horrible. And I will say this, too, for the NCAA and the SEC. If A&M gives Kentucky a game, it's a guaranteed another slot for the SEC.
That's why I think that it may or may not have been slighted.
No, I'm not disagreeing.
Pure speculation.
Mississippi State, same way versus Tennessee. I'm not saying anything happened there, but when you take these two 8-9s,
it's revenue sharing.
I just think there was a big push from the SEC to get more teams in,
100%.
And I think this allowed that to happen. Tennessee goes down, Kentucky goes down. We're allowing other teams into the tournament who can be competitive. Now, going forward, we'll see how these two teams play. I love the way A&M played against Kentucky. That team couldn't miss a shot. Regardless of the officiating, that team played really well. Mississippi State played really well against their game.
And here's what's impressive. And if you even go back and look at Kentucky's losses, a lot of times, though, people are hitting lights out. And then Kentucky's like only 10 points away. And then Kentucky didn't make any halftime adjustments. I mean, they were using the high screen, you know what I'm saying, going in, getting layups and whatever
Calipari
else.
Calipari has gone from a, quote, defensive coach to a offensive coach, and his defense is not kept up.
Well, I think these guys will be prepared. They realize now
so.
it's
I think so too. But
you're either going to play or you're not. And then what about Reed Shepard, National Freshman of the Year awards and all this stuff? I mean, potential top five lottery pick in the NBA.
Top five lottery. I just don't think Reed Shepard goes. I just don't see it. Now, can his stock go up any more than it is? Probably not.
No, he's got to go. He's got to go.
But his comp would his comp be John Stockton, top of a player?
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Because Stockton shot the ball well, handled the ball pretty well.
Yeah, assists.
I think
Reed
makes too many mistakes. Not that he's not hustling and trying, because I love to watch Reed Shepard play. I just don't see, like, he's got money. He doesn't have to have a contract. He's getting good NIL money. I just think Reed Shepard's the kind of a kid that would rather stay at UK and try to win a national championship.
Well, let's see how it plays out this season.
You know what I'm saying?
If Kentucky wins a national championship, 100% he's going. If Kentucky doesn't, he's probably 90% going.
Okay.
I think
you're predicting John.
Well, yes. Again, if he's projected as a top five and he can almost get guarantees before he has to withdraw his name from the NBA.
My thing is this, though, Ken. How can you look at Reed Sheppard and put him, this is a rhetorical question, I guess, a top five lottery pick along with his teammate, right? We got two top five guys that are not even the conversation of All-American first team.
Totally agree.
These guys are second, third team, all SEC.
Yep.
We're talking about as possible lottery picks, top five. Both freshmen. Now, talented? Yes, they are. Starters? No, they're not.
But see, here's what I think potentially,
minutes they're getting,
though.
Yes, they are.
Well, and that's where, though, all of a sudden they become a draft pick, potentially, with the right team, and who knows what they're able to do.
Oh,
right?
You're not going to find a better shooter than Reed Sheppard. You're not going to find a better guy with basketball than
Dillingham.
Oh man, that kid can Rob
Dillingham.
He can make things happen.
Yeah,
but he's small. You know, you just wonder about going to the next level. I just think that I'm not sure either one that's going to make that NBA roster. Even if they're, I think they're 2 years away from being on the NBA rosters right now. I don't know. I'm not sure they're ready yet physically.
I can agree with that. I still think, though, if I've got that contract and I'm guaranteed basically a top five and somebody's going to do it and I'm signing for millions of dollars, because I'm not going to take a chance of getting hurt.
You don't think he's insured,
Reed Sheppard? Of course he is.
Seriously.
No, of course he is. But at that
point,
these
guys are making good money, NIL money. They're making life-changing money, but just NIL.
I know, but get to the association, though, and be a top five draft pick.
Well, one thing about it, Reed Sheppard could write his own ticket out of Kentucky basketball, period, just as a four-year player.
Oh, sure.
Ticket written. He's two of the most popular college players of all time. He's their offspring, and he could be one of the most popular players out of Kentucky in a long time.
Well, and to me, one of the things I agree, and I think one of the things that's a difference maker for UK basketball is that when you have a player like a Reed Sheppard, who is Kentucky kid, those kids make a difference on the UK team when they play like that.
And we're supposed to get the next guy that's like Reed Sheppard next year with the, 4,500 points out of Lyon County coming into Kentucky next year?
So I'm saying, I think that when you have that Kentucky connection with these kids, they're difference makers because they know what UK basketball is about. And I'm not saying
them,
that.
Right?
Yeah, how big of a deal
Dillingham,
it is.
I think Dillingham is, see ya. Sheppard, I think there's hope. Reed, if you're listening.
But then even going forward, I'm not so sure that Bradshaw, Onyenso, Big Z, they're bigs. They're not ready to go to the NBA. But then does Calipari push them out? Because guess what? I got another class coming in. Sorry, fellas.
That's what he has been doing.
But then Trey Mitchell has been huge, along with Antonio Reeves. Veteran players.
Have we had this depth before?
No, we haven't.
Not under
Not
Calipari.
In a while.
Under
not in a
Calipari,
good long while. No.
So
that's the difference.
Go Cats. Tomorrow
yeah,
night,
exactly.
7 o'clock.
Go Cats.
CBS.
And Morehead State University. They play Illinois. Let's hope that they're able to pull the upset, and the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
I was getting ready to say, Western, Morehead, Kentucky. Is that the only
that's
three
it.
Kentucky
Yeah,
schools?
That's it. But go still, they are fine teams. They are good
underrated.
Teams that are underrated, that are capable of at least getting to a Sweet 16, in my opinion.
Good luck, Kentucky schools,
in
the big dance coming up this, it's already started, so.
Coming up tomorrow.
See you maybe next week, and we'll kind of catch you up on where we are a week later. So.
And in the meantime, go Pirates.
Go Pirates.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.